everyone. I want to start off by just saying I know you all have already been welcomed to Louisiana, but I want to once again welcome you to Louisiana. My name is Alma Stewart, and I am the president and founder of the Louisiana Center for Health Equity, as well as the CEO and president of H. Charles Stewart Consultants. Just to say a little bit about the mission of the Louisiana Center for Health Equity, we are the only statewide organization, independent organization, that is working specifically to address disparities in health and health care across the state of Louisiana. And our focus is on wellness and community health, looking at it through the lens of health equity. We know that there are many, many different populations that are affected by disparities. And for the most part in Louisiana, everyone depending upon which area you're focusing on, no one escapes. Because as you mentioned about the tobacco here in Louisiana, as we were doing some tobacco disparities work, white males, blue-collar workers were the population that was most prevalent in that area. I love this graphic because to me it really tells the story visually of what the work that we do is about and why it's so important in the state of Louisiana. We focus again on not diseases and illnesses, but on the social causes, the determinants of health that cause and perpetuate the disparities in the first place. Louisiana ranks 48th in health outcomes according to America's Health Rankings. And for the last probably 15 or more years, Louisiana has been at 48, 49. 1 year we got up to 47, but I think that was unusual. We have been for the majority of the years 49th actually of the 50 states. And so if you're thinking about it from a visual standpoint, we would be, represented over there on the right side of your screen. Pretty barren land. We do have, high rates of smoking here, HIV/AIDS, infant mortality. So some of those heart disease, those indicators are certainly representative here. I don't know if you can read it very well, but under in the brown part at the bottom, you'll see the social determinants that is where we're trying to really focus our energies is on having more fertile soil to prevent some of those poor health outcomes. So what do we do? Louisiana Center for Health Equity serves as a catalyst for collaboration and community engagement. And right now, our major focus is on access to quality healthcare and community health. And this is just a few pictures from some of our events. The one up on the top to the right is a recent event that we launched focusing on youth violence prevention in the Baton Rouge area. And those are many of the partners, our partners who are working with us in that effort. The other are some community dialogue that would run on the left was focusing on women and women's access to health care. In the middle there, a vigil that we held at the state capitol around the Medicaid expansion. And the last one on the right was a press release on Medicaid expansion at the capitol. So we've done a lot of community outreach, community education, community engagement. This is just more pictures of some of the kinds of work that we do. Through the youth violence prevention work we're doing, we are really working to engage our young people and to bring them into the conversation about and educating them about many of these issues. I've become almost a TV celebrity, and I'm not really comfortable with that venue, but. Just because of the nature of this work, appearing on television shows, and even now I'm the host of a radio show called Today's Health Topics, where we talk a lot about these kinds of issues. We also focus on policy advocacy, and this is, I don't want to say the most important, but it has the broadest, the most significant impact if we're successful in our work around policy advocacy. But as you all know, this is very difficult, especially in Louisiana. I wish I could have all the great news and great information to present that my colleague had from Kentucky, but unfortunately, that's not the story here in Louisiana. We are a very red state. We have a governor, Bobby Jindal, who was actually on Meet the Press the other day. Did any of you get to see our Governor Jindal on Meet the Press? He is very much opposed to expanding Medicaid, and he did talk about that on Meet the Press. He was actually challenged a bit about that decision. He made a statement that really kind of surprised me, that it was he did not think that those federal dollars should be wasted because he thinks that Medicaid is a failed program. It's an antiquated program. But we're going to talk a little bit more about that in a few minutes. So among the policy initiatives LCAG supports is, of course, expanding Medicaid under the Affordable Care Act. This is a photo from of a gentleman who was speaking at a recent event who was uninsured and talked about his experience trying to get health care and how difficult it was, how horrific really it was for him trying to get health care. It was quite disturbing. So needless to say, because of the status of health and health outcomes in this state, when the Affordable Care Act passed, we were quite excited. When it was upheld in June of 2012, we were even more excited. And we actually thought or hoped that there would be some improvement, some change, that people, the high rates of uninsured here, would be able finally to get access to health care to turn around the poor health outcomes. Louisiana's uninsured by race ethnicity is 751,000 uninsured total residents in this state, according to the Census Bureau. And I want you to pay attention to the numbers here in terms of the demographics by race and ethnicity. As you can see, the majority of people who are uninsured are actually Caucasians in this state, if we're looking at, you know, who's actually uninsured, which, you know, a lot of people don't really think about it that way or don't, are not maybe not aware of it. The second largest demographic is, of course, at almost 40% African Americans, and we do have a large African American population here in the state of Louisiana. Louisiana's uninsured are mostly employed. Most are employed in low-wage jobs. Of that 751,000, 60%, if you look at those who are employed in jobs up to 199% of poverty, 60% of them are uninsured. And also between 139% and 199% of federal poverty, 452,000 plus are uninsured. And just to give a little bit of context to this slide, what that means is for those at that 139% poverty, they are eligible for the marketplace, right? But look at that. Most of them are unemployed. The uninsured fall within that category, actually. And the problem is that we're seeing is that even though they're eligible for the marketplace, and technically 100%, above 100% of poverty are eligible for the marketplace as well. But if you fall between 100 and a little over 100% of poverty, and you fall between that 199% of poverty, individuals in that income range, those low-wage jobs, are struggling to afford the insurance even in the marketplace, and especially on the lower end of that. So people who are at the 100% to 138% of poverty, they can get insurance through the marketplace, but they still can't afford it. So you're seeing people who are saying, I went there, but I still can't afford it. And so they're still not purchasing the insurance. No Medicaid expansion. as we have here in Louisiana. Who's the most impacted? And it goes back to what Jessica said. I mean, she pretty much stole my thunder. Everything she said is true right here in Louisiana. Of course, we know that non-elderly adults, are the most impacted. And in this state, that's 2.8 million people. Children, aren't included there. And in Louisiana, we do a great job of insuring our children. But those who fall within 138% or less of the federal poverty level, in 2013, there were nearly 1.3 million of them. And of those, 332,000 or 26% were uninsured. 24% were uninsured. So we have, again, a poor state. That's what these numbers say, to interpret this slide. If we have almost 1.3 million people who fall below 138% of poverty, that means we have a lot of poor people in this state. And most of them are working poor. In addition to that, when we carve out those who are caught in that coverage gap that Jessica talked about, and that's those that are they're not eligible for our traditional Medicaid or existing Medicaid program here because they make too much money. Here in Louisiana, you have to make less than $3,000 in order to qualify. And as she said, if you're an adult with no children, you don't qualify at all. There are about 242,000 of those people who also do not qualify for the insurance marketplace because they don't make 100%. They make less than 100% of poverty. So they're caught right in that coverage gap. And I wanted to, the reason I asked you on the previous slide to make note of it, because here is where you see the shift in the demographics in terms of who's caught in that coverage gap. And you see that the majority of those who are caught in the coverage gap are actually African Americans because, as Jessica said, they tend to be in the lower income jobs, making the lower income, lower wages. So you're going to see more African Americans who are caught in that coverage gap. And so what is the face of those who are most impacted by this policy of not accepting or expanding Medicaid in this state? They look like that, mostly. They're young, they're working, and they're African Americans. And they're not the typical, person who's sitting on the couch, doesn't want to work. They are young, working people. Those who are sitting on the couch can qualify for Medicaid in many instances. I shouldn't say that. So in Louisiana, some of you may know that we had MoveOn.org put up a billboard right outside of Baton Rouge, across the river in West Baton Rouge, and this is the actual billboard. The state of Louisiana sued them to force them to take the billboard down. However, they lost. Move on. The courts ruled in MoveOn's favor, and that billboard is still up there. So what are we doing about it? I wish I could say we've been successful. We've been working since last year, 2013, and trying to convince the administration and legislators, policymakers, to implement this policy and giving them all the rational reasons why it's good for Louisiana. So we formed last year, we convened and formed, the Louisiana Center for Health Equity did, a group that is now called the Campaign for Healthcare for Everyone Louisiana. And we're a positive, proactive, nonpartisan, issue-based campaign that works in an organized, coordinated fashion to serve as a cohesive voice for better access to quality healthcare in this state. And I just want to talk a little bit about what we are doing, what we have been doing over the past year and a half in this work. Year one, what we focused on in terms of our strategy was really building an advocacy movement for Medicaid expansion, increasing the national, state, and local support, conducting outreach and public education and informational events, and some of the pictures I showed you at the beginning reflect that. mobilizing various constituency groups, including the faith-based community, rural communities. We were trying to really mobilize different constituencies and also legislative targeting. We had most of our energies were split between trying to educate folks and the community in various constituencies and legislative targeting. What we learned from that last year is that we really have to have a broader issues. We have to focus on the broader issues. Here in this state, Medicaid expansion is one issue, but it's only one when it comes to access to health care. Many of you know that Governor Jindal also a couple of years ago rushed to privatize the public facilities. Louisiana traditionally has had a public charity hospital system. He privatized those, closing two hospitals, moving the care from the public sector over to private hospitals. And that's causing a lot of problems in this state with regards to access to health care, not to mention the fact that CMS doesn't seem to like it as much as we don't seem to like it, and that they have only approved one of the contracts for that public-private partnership, and the word out is that they're not going to approve them. So we have a situation here where there's a looming economic impact on the hospitals, and for many who trusted, I guess, the administration and took that leap forward may not get reimbursed for the care that they've been providing now for about 2 years. And so there's a huge debt to be paid, and the feds may not rescue us this time. And so that's just one of the issues. I don't have time to go into all of them, but, you know, the point being is that Medicaid expansion, when it comes to access to health care, is just one of the issues. The federal funds are desperately needed in this state for health care, and we're leaving those dollars on the table while people are suffering, and access to health care is actually being negatively impacted through these public-private partnerships. We also realize that we have to have an engaged constituency, because the legislative strategy really did not work. We didn't move the legislators one bit. In fact, year two, they were less moved than they were the first year. We at least got legislation passed on the House and got it on the floor, couldn't get it off the floor, but we had a little traction in year one. Year two, we couldn't even get a bill out of committee. That's how, you know, that's how much persuasion the governor has, let me say it that way. He is very powerful in this state. Collaboration has value. The fact that we have so many organizations that have come together around this issue is a very positive strength for the work that we are doing, and it has positioned us to be able to do some other things that I think will help us to be more successful, not necessarily in this administration, but in the next administration. Civic engagement is definitely important. One of the problems we have in this state is that we have very low voter turnout. There's a lot of apathy. As you all know, we just had the election. We're in a runoff for U.S. Senator with Mary Landrieu and Bill Cassidy. Very contentious race. I don't have time to go into all of that either, but we have more Democrats registered in this state than we have Republicans, but it's interesting that we are solidly a very strong Republican state when it comes to elected officials, and so that amazes me that the Democrats just don't come out to vote, and I don't understand why, because if they came out to vote, Mary Landrieu would win hands down, but that's an issue. People are just apathetic. They don't care. And so we have to do something about, you know, the civic engagement and motivating people and convincing them that somehow that their voice and their vote does matter. You know, you get to decide who your elected officials are, and it matters in terms of policy decisions and which direction the state and the country is going to go in. Capacity development and sustainability are key. this kind of work, the work that we are doing, really boils down to social justice work. And it's not popular work, and it's hard work. It's very hard work. And one of the reasons why we are so challenged is because we don't have the resources that others have. Those who are working so hard to get Mary Landrieu defeated have deep pockets. The Koch brothers have infused millions of dollars. They back Americans for Prosperity here in Louisiana to the tune of millions of dollars. I wish somebody would back us on the other side to fight for reasonable and sensible policy when it comes to the, you know, this state and the demographics and the realities of this state and the status of public health in this state. We're looking for those folks, if you all know any of those folks with money that want to help us do the right thing for the people of Louisiana, send them our way. And then organizing strategy, we've come to realize that we have to have a viable organizing strategy and cultivate and develop leaders around the state in different areas who can help educate and help us extend what we do beyond, you know, the small reach that we have. And again, all of these things take resources. So year two, we are in the process of finalizing our strategic plan for year two, which will carry us through the legislative session next year. We really decided to kind of take a different approach and to focus, we're continuing to focus on growing public support in education. We're focusing a lot more on building a movement and what it's going to take to build a movement and hopefully begin to change that culture across the state where people value health and see it as an imperative to provide insurance coverage for people who are poor and uninsured. Also collaborating with other organizations, we're continuing to do that, but we are beginning to reach out beyond just those of us who are really committed to and embrace this to other groups that may not be, who have an interest but haven't come to the table yet. We realize we have to bring more folks to the table. Focusing on attracting the resources to do this work and sustain this work, and then maintaining an advocacy strategy, but rather than focusing so much on the legislative policymakers, beginning to focus now our attentions on the gubernatorial election, because this governor has another year. We'll be electing another governor next year, and we are hopeful that we'll get a governor that will be more in tune with the realities of the state of Louisiana and the people who he is here to serve, which is all of the people and not just the small vocal conservative minority that tends to dictate in this state. So this is an issue that is really far too important for us not to continue to fight for. And this is just kind of one of the events that we held and kind of our theme that we have taken on our mantra for this work, which has really resonated very well now in terms of from an advocacy perspective, that, you know, people are literally dying for coverage, and that's not just a slogan. There's data that backs that up. People are dying for a lack of coverage, and healthcare does save lives, and I won't go into all the details of those data that backs that up, but it is a fact. And so I just kind of want to close my comments, and then we can get to the questions, with a couple of quotes from Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King said, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. And of all the forms of inequality, injustice in healthcare is the most shocking and inhumane." And it's so interesting to me. I am a registered nurse, and so I probably am more passionate about this than, you know, the average person. But it is always interesting to me that we would deny a basic human right to our fellow citizens when it is available, when in the face of making a decision to provide health care coverage to young, low-working African Americans and other people in this state, that the decision would be made over and over to not afford them that health care. I have a hard time understanding that. So what are we doing? I'm very happy that American Public Health Association has partnered with us on this issue, and that on Saturday we actually had a event called Create a Movement for Change. It was a community dialogue on Medicaid expansion that was held in the park across the street. We are working to urge Governor Jindal and elected officials to extend health coverage to low-wage adults in Louisiana, and not just in Louisiana, but all of those other 22 states that have not accepted that coverage. And so we have a campaign going right now. We have a letter, and we are urging and asking our APHA partners to sign the letter. It's online at this website. And I have some cards up here, so I hope everybody will get some cards. I'll bring them out and start passing them around. Go on the website, please, and sign the letter. We're trying to collect as many signatures as we can in support of expanding Medicaid in Louisiana. And that letter will be presented to the governor and other policymakers early next year before the legislative session starts. So that's one way that you can help us. Won't cost you anything, but you can help support Louisiana in our effort to try to get health care coverage for those uninsured citizens. And that's it.